So break it down for me. So for those who are unfamiliar, there's a lot of money in publishing from what you're sharing with us now.
Yeah.
We need to understand, or any artists, particularly those in the music business, need to understand the business implications of not knowing publishing rights and publishing deals and how publishing works. Question number one would be, what is publishing? And then two, why is it such a lucrative part of the music business?
So publishing, it's a bit of a racket, right? So to explain it in a more layman's standpoint, you have like 100% of a pie, right? So the copyright, in the way the performing rights organizations looks at a copyright, is you have copyright owners, could be me and you, we write a song together, right? So we have 25%. If you look at the whole pie, actually 50% is copyright ownership, 50% is publishing, right? So when songs go out into the world, which aren't tangible, they basically go out there with this pretty much business understanding that this is a whole pie going out there. 50 cents on every dollar goes to copyright owners, right? So if it's one copyright owner, 50 cent, you know, me and you, 25 cents each. And the publishing gets 50%, right? Now, me and you could also have publishing representation, and therefore you'd get 25% on your publishing side, ownership side, and I'd get 25%. The reason why it's something that I always, whenever I do talks, whether it be high school, college, or whatever it is, I always kind of stress this, because it's very difficult to know how to retain that ownership. So if you're someone that's writing a song, and especially in our communities where there's a definite lack of education, people that are doing beats, like quote unquote beats, right? Which is the producers. So they, you know, like, hey, I'm a producer, I'm doing beats. They don't understand that they're actually creating a copyright, right? They don't understand that they're really a composer. So beats is just a street term we kind of get used to. I don't like using that word professionally at all. I don't even like using it when I'm talking to people, because I have to get people used to the idea that you're creating, you know, this is intellectual property, right? So if you create that beat, let's say even if it's an instrumental song, right? You still have 50% of that copyright that person created, the composer created. And then what happens is, in order to license that or publish it, the same as a book, you have to have administrative representation. So we look at it as, if you think about Sony, right? Sony's just a brick building, right? Brick and mortar, you know, office buildings with people in there doing administrative work. My company, actually Real Sync Music, is a publisher, right? It happens to be administered by me, as like I'm the person administrating that, but it's still like Sony, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. So the ability for someone to understand publishing means that if you're a manager person and you don't write music, you can actually have a bunch of different copyright owners underneath your publishing roof, like Sony does, or EMI, right? And the big deal is, once you own that publishing right to that copyright, right? So you have to do a contract. You can't just walk up and say, I'm going to publish your song. You have to have an agreement, a contract, or whatever. So, and you can do that exclusively, or you can do it non-exclusively, right? So like, a publisher they hold the administrative rights to exploiting that music, right? So the exploitation of this music out there in the world, not just internet, not just records. I mean, I'm talking anywhere that you hear music, right? So if it's playing outside at a college festival in a jumpy house somewhere, right? Or somebody's dunking some water. If you get on that elevator, or if you go to lunch in that restaurant, you're hearing music everywhere you go, right? So it covers you across the board. So you look at, you know, at that point, you're looking at domestic publishing, and then you're looking at international publishing. So for myself, I have a deal with BMG, which is my sub-publisher. When music gets outside of the, like, ASCAP, BMI, I don't know if you're familiar with that. We can come back to that one. But basically, the performing rights organizations that actually monitor where this music is. So once it gets into Indonesia, like, who's going to know when their music's playing there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what you have to have: publishers, sub-publishers outside of the country, internationally, you know, Spotify or whatever it is, YouTube is playing, and all of these different performing rights organizations actually monitor that. So the more you learn about publishing is the more you can relax as a copyright owner, because you can say, no, I'm not going to let you use my song, period. Right. Or you can say, all right, Jay, you know something? You got a hookup over here at, you know, MTV. Cool. You know something? Let's do a publishing split on that, because I still want to retain some publishing. Right. Now, if you're a big dog or you have some type of situation going on where you're like, nope, it's take it or leave it. I say, OK, cool. Well, guess what? Let's do it. What's called the derivative work. The derivative work means I'm going to allow you to take my song. And this is my widget, which is my song that we can't touch MP3s or nothing. Right. We're going to take this song and we're going to change it from mouse to rat. Right. So this is now going to be called rat. And I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be called a rat, and you're going to go and exploit it. And we're going to do a derivative copyright on that. So now you're going to represent this kind of fake copyright, or the derivative copyright, which is really a carbon copy, a clone of that copyright. Mm. Now you can just go ahead and take your song. You feel good because now you got this rat you're walking around with, and you're just going to exploit everything because you're going to get 50% of that money that comes through, right? I'm going to take my mouse and I'm going to still find a whole bunch more use everywhere and keep calling this thing some other name and keep putting it out, right? So I've done this a lot with MTV, VH1, where I have my catalog from way back, you know, Pimp My Ride, you know, Cribs, you know, Jersey Shore, Kardashians, all these TV, and especially a bunch of other unhealthy MTV shows. What happens is, you know, you do a deal with certain production companies. They get a hold of your music. You have a certain blanket contract license saying that you can use this and you can call this mouse another name and you can put it on every production that you can put it out there on. So therefore, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's like rent-a-cars is a simple way, right? You take it, clean it up, put it out there, comes back in, give it to somebody else, put it out there. And the person that owns that rent-a-car still owns that rent-a-car. Right? Avis still owns the rent-a-car, except that they're licensing it to a new driver every time. Right? So, and in this case, with a copyright, the copyright has to follow the publishing. So the publisher always has to represent that copyright, whatever that is, for that particular piece of work, which is what it's called, the work, quote unquote work. Right? So that's how the copyright office looks at it. So this work ends up being something that I can actually just create a derivative work. I can do that as an original copyright owner. If you and I are original copyright owners, I can say, yo, Jay, let's you know, get this thing out there. You cool with that? And you could turn around and say, no, I don't really want to do that on the publishing end. That could be an issue when it comes down. So I always just have to give you your cut. But if me and you write a song together, you and I both have the right to exploit that song. You can't tell me no, I can't. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different things that become a little bit more ambiguous as you go down the line. But the reality is, for all intents and purposes, what we want to share, what I want to share, is the fact that you're creating this intellectual property. This has value to it, right? And if you don't understand how publishing works, you could actually be kind of closed-minded or even pig-headed about it and say, no, you're not going to get my song because of whatever deal you think you're going to get. If you know that you can clone this thing and you can get it out to everyone, just do all kinds of different deals as long as it's above board and as long as you have a contract that's attached to it. Once it becomes exclusive, then that's when you can't play that game with that copyright, right? But most deals can just be non-exclusive, right? And that's the thing. And as a publisher, you don't have to deal with any kind of broker, anyone getting your song to a project. You can still represent your own song, or you can have, you know, like say if a band has one publisher, but has like, you know, four or five different songwriters, you can still take that record and still exploit that record and own all of your publishing at the same time. I was explaining kind of a typical way, because publishing is one of these, I call it a negotiating tool, because if you have a TV show or a record that I'm trying to get on, and your terms is, oh yeah, you kid, you want to be on this thing? You gotta pay me. Right. Which happens a lot. And that's the reason why I kind of started out talking that way, is just because that's kind of a typical way that people get in to it. And if it's not exclusive, you learn that lesson, you learn how that works, and you go out and go do it on your own. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's not that one song. Maybe you do have a lost leader, because, you know, I know me, like I'll die before I write all the music that I would intend to write, you know, which is the right. other part of this, because this is like the stock market, right? When I pass away, my family will get my copyrights.
Thanks for listening. For more amazing content and episode updates, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and the Dr. J's Office Hours YouTube channel. Also, if you like notes from this episode and more, head over to drjaewilliams.com and download Dr. J's Gems. The notes include a breakdown of the conversation, key concepts, and helpful resources exclusively for my Office Hours fam. So come through. You never know. You just might learn something new. And remember, you are what you've been waiting for. Talk to you soon. Peace.